Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A federal court of appeals blocks an abortion buffer zone law. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Yeah, this is a great decision by the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals that ordered a preliminary injunction against a city ordinance in Clearwater, Florida, that created a pedestrian buffer zone outside an abortion facility. And of course, a buffer zone is an area where they're saying sidewalk counselors cannot intrude into that area.
Yeah, it's a 2-1 decision. No surprise that the dissenter in this case is a person that was put on the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, formerly an attorney with the Southern Poverty Law Center, unfortunately, and dissented. But it was a great decision, 2-1, and it reverses a lower court decision that denied an injunction sought by a group of sidewalk counselors and orders the lower court to grant the injunction while the litigation continues toward a permanent decision.
Good decision.
So the appeals court stated that the counselors were likely to succeed on the merits since the buffer zone stifled their First Amendment right to convey their pro-life message in a public place.
You know, in these kind of buffer zones, I mean, we have had several cases involving those in different states. Where they're trying to, the abortion facilities are trying to stop sidewalk counselors from helping the women and helping them change their mind against abortion.
I argue the very first buffer zone case at the United States Supreme Court in 1994, Madsen versus Women's Health Center. And they created multiple buffer zones around the abortion clinic. They created a 36-foot buffer zone, and then they created 300-foot buffer zones around the clinic and around any home that was associated with any person who worked at or volunteered with the clinic.
Virtually making it impossible to be able to talk to someone. You can't
you can't
300 feet from someone else.
300 feet's a football field.
Yeah.
That's how, so you're 100 yards away.
Yeah.
With 300 feet. Well, in this case, whether you're 100 yards away or 36 feet, or in this case, something similar to that, you can't really convey a message. It forces you to shout, which is something you don't want to do.
No.
And you can't give someone a piece of literature. So the ordinance was passed in 2023. It created a vehicular safety zone that prohibited pedestrians from using a portion of a public sidewalk to come within 5 feet of the driveway of the abortion facility, Bread and Roses Women's Health Center.
That's a very strange name, I have to say, for an abortion facility.
Bread and Roses. Yeah, it's like some palatable type of thing, and it's a very destructive,
absolutely,
death facility. So city officials, they argued that the measure was necessary to ensure patient safety and prevent traffic congestion. However, the Florida Preborn Rescue, pro-life nonprofit, and four sidewalk counselors sued, claiming that the law violated their First Amendment rights by restricting counseling and leafleting in an area where there is a public right-of-way. So this particular case involved this clinic, and the buffer zone was on a sidewalk that crossed over the entrance, and it went a little bit on one side and the other side. So you have this abortion clinic, and there's the driveway to get into the abortion clinic. And the sidewalk goes along parallel with the road and crosses over that driveway and then has some additional space on either side of the driveway. And you couldn't get anywhere near that. So people that would walk into the entrance, you could not get into, because the only way, you're not going to walk on the grass, right? You're going to come across the street, or maybe you'll go in a car into the driveway. But you're going to come through that area. And the city of Clearwater actually passed this buffer zone that says you can't get anywhere near that, basically. So that means you could not pass out leaflet. You couldn't pass out a leaflet to say, we have alternative resources for you, a gospel track. You couldn't get in close proximity with people that would come into that entry point.
And just have like a quiet conversation. You know, you're not going to yell at a woman like that. It makes it impossible to have a conversation.
Yeah, and the last thing you want to do is use a megaphone, because you can have a conversation. You want to be able to have a quiet conversation. You want to be able to speak in a normal voice. And you want to be able to hand them a piece of literature to those people who are willing to accept it.
Yeah, just say, I want to give you this. I want you to reconsider. Maybe, you know, we have resources that can help you save your baby, raise your baby. You know, you don't have to do this.
Yeah, so writing for the majority, the circuit judge, Kevin Newsom, cited U.S. Supreme Court precedent from 2014 decision McCullen versus Coakley at the U.S. Supreme Court, which struck down a Massachusetts buffer zone law that stated the government's ability to restrict speech in a public forum is very limited, and any law doing so must be narrowly tailored. Mm. He also wrote in this case that the Supreme Court has historically recognized two forms of expression closely associated with the transmission of ideas, and those are normal conversation and leafleting on a public sidewalk. So normal conversation and leafleting. And in fact, leafleting, the Supreme Court has recognized multiple times, is that the leafleter can just hold out the leaflet and the person passing by can either make a decision to accept it or not. It doesn't interfere with activity, with egress, ingress, doesn't interfere with your mobility or your walking. It's just you take it or you don't. And we've all seen these people. You've been in a public park and somebody passes a handout with a leaflet. You can take it if you want to. You don't have to take it if you don't want to.
Right. And he wrote in his opinion, the Clearwater Ordinance, which is this law we're talking about, seriously burdens Florida preborn's speech by restricting the sidewalk counselor's ability to distribute leaflets to patients as they arrive at the clinic. He also noted the ordinance was not narrowly tailored, as it also barred facility patients from entering the zone to accept literature.
Yeah, so if a facility patient wanted to actually accept literature, they couldn't enter the zone either to accept the literature. So if they wanted to come over and get the literature from somebody, they weren't able to do that either. So the prime objective, is according to the judge when he wrote the decision, he says, quote, the prime objective of the First Amendment is not efficiency. Again, citing to McCullen, he said that, in fact, what it is to provide, you know, free speech, especially in these two areas, normal conversation and leafleting. Those are highly protected. And when you have the loss of First Amendment freedoms, even for a minimal time, the court wrote, in this case, it unquestionably constitutes irreparable injury, because if you can't speak today or right now, you will never get that opportunity. That's the importance in the emergency of the First Amendment, the emergency nature of why you need injunctions and the irreparable harm. You have a person who's accessing that clinic, and if you can't speak to that person today,
right. Time is of the essence there. You know, and those women, I'd say the majority of them are forced into that situation by a partner or a family member. So to be able to have someone talk kindly to them and say, you know, there are options. We're here to help you. You're not in this alone. Or here's adoption, you know, alternatives as well. Women just need some information and a kind voice at that time.
Yeah, and that's what the sidewalk counselors want to do. They want to provide a place where they can provide support. Mm-hmm. You're not going to do that by shouting or with a megaphone. You're going to do that by normal conversation and just by handing a piece of literature, a leaflet to them, letting them know that there's alternatives, letting them know that what their baby looks like, perhaps at that stage, that there's alternatives, there's resources that can provide ultrasounds, other kinds of resources, and support. And if you're not able to do that, what happens is this woman will make a decision based upon false information that she has received. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, like you said, there's a lot of studies now about the shocking numbers of women who are coerced to have an abortion.
Right. And, you know, a lot of times if you can get them to go in and to get the ultrasound, that's usually the key. When they see their baby on the screen, that's a done deal. That's their baby. They want that baby.
You know, and it's amazing, you know, you see these people going into abortion clinics, how many feel extreme pressure by a third party. Could be mm-hmm. their boyfriend, could be their parents.
The majority of them
could
are that,
be
yeah.
others as well. Yeah, that's where the pressure comes from to yeah. get these abortions. And so that's why these sidewalk counselors are so critically important. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.